Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. Hi, everyone. We're coming to the end of another Insight Pack, the Workplace Leader season. We're going to go in a summer break. So I'll be back in September, October. That's the plan for now. But as a super special today, I'm going to bring you something that's been requested or suggested a couple of times. And that was actually because we're talking to workplace managers, workplace leaders, to get the opinions of the other side of that coin of users of office space. So I had the chance to talk to a couple of Lego employees when I visited for the Lego Workplace Symposium to get their view on the workplace experience at Lego Campus. And maybe to give you a bit of an idea of that Lego Campus, let's say to explain some of the comments that are going to come later from those users. Lego Campus basically has two, and I'm talking about their new office headquarters, has two parts to it. So there is the main office building that has regular desk space or team areas or neighborhoods, and a huge atrium, which on each floor has different amenities or special places to use. So there is a library and a Zen garden. There is coffee bars. There's just also bar stools around the atrium. So you actually have a look over the space and the Lego installations that are there. And that main office building is also divided into different like department or team areas, and they're color coded. So like the colorful Lego bricks, there's one block or one part of that office building that is like, for example, orange, and then the other one is red and the other one's blue. So you get the picture, the colors indicate what kind of spaces are there. And then the second part is People House. And the specialty with People House is that People House is not only open to the office employees, but it is also open to their family members, so to their spouses and their kids. And that area has spaces where you could work, but they're more kind of an informal setting. As in, there's like lounge areas and like huge stairs that you could drop down to. Well, also tables where you could have lunch, because again, there is a little food court. And then there's a lot of those fun places. So there's a huge room with loads and loads of Lego bricks that kids, for example, could play with, or adults as well. And then there is gym areas, there's a sports court, there is a cinema, there's a creative room where you can sew, for example, or there's also a pottery room. So a lot of fun stuff that you could do, that you could bring your family to. And that is, well, open to the wider Lego community, also to senior citizens or retirees from Lego. I think Tim mentioned some more about that in the episode he was on previously, and we're going to hear Tim later as well in this episode. Just want to tell you which episode that was. So Tim, I'm looking at it, was in episode 32 of The Workplace Leader. So that's a mere 30-something episodes ago, which is kind of incredible to me. Anyways, so if you want to hear more about the concept behind Lego Campus and their ideas around workplace experience, go back to that episode. For this episode, now I had the chance to talk to people about how they perceive Lego Campus, how they move in the space, What are their favorite places? What do they miss? How do they feel they're embedded into Lego culture? So that's all the questions that I basically had. So you're going to hear from Kelly first, who's a regular user of the People House. Then I spoke to Tini, who's a community builder. So the Lego Group hired dedicated community builders to engage with their people and to offer them some programming around the spaces that are there to use. And I spoke to Kelly and Tini on site. So I got to experience a couple of the settings myself. So with Kelly, I was in that meeting room that was built like a campfire, and everything, really everything, was made out of Lego bricks. The campfire, the wall with like a forest setting, and also a wooden, well, hyphen marks, wooden bench. And with Tini, I was in the music room of the People House, where there's lots of instruments and recording equipment. So we used that. And the other interview I had was with Tim, that you knew from before, or you're going to get to know today. He's the head of workplace experience at the Lego Group. So yeah, without talking any further, let's hear some of the user voices.
Hi, Kelly. I'm really happy to meet you here in Lego, on Lego campus.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Very glad to be here.
I'm lucky to get feedback from the users, actually, of this space. And my first question is, what is your favorite place on campus?
There are many favorite places for my family. I think my favorite place, if I may say several of them, then one of them is the movie theater, which I actually sing a little bit karaoke there once, which is very fun. And then I also like the sports area where I can play ping pong with not only my colleagues during our rest time or maybe Friday afternoon, but also I can engage my son and also my husband to play with me, which we rarely do that at home. But when we do sports together, it makes us very energized. So I like that places a lot. And my husband's favorite is similar to what I am familiar with, you know, that sports area. And then my son and my daughter, the kids, wanted to play the video game stations. Mm-hmm. They find a lot of fun. And then they also like the Lego rooms.
Ah, the rooms to play with
yes,
the bricks.
Yes,
of true. Course. So how often do you actually go to People House?
Well, that depends. I think usually we will come most likely like in the Friday afternoon, that after work and after school, we will hang on there and with a lot of schoolmates of my kids. And then we met the parent, and then usually we will just social chatting, and then kids will play together. So that's usually on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, which very nicely ties into my next question on how well do you feel connected in the Lego community?
Yeah, so there are a lot of foreign internationals living in Billund. Sometimes it's a little bit hard. Before we have People House, we need to go to each other's places, and then the host need to prepare a lot of thing for it's a big effort. But since we have the People House, we will just hang out here. And then there's also a lot of activities that all of us can do it together. And once we had the People House, we have the big screen. There are often some initiatives that will be proposed or, let's say, arranged by one of the internationals. And then they will say, like, we can maybe, for example, look at some sports, live sports, for example, football match or F1, Formula One mm-hmm. match. Yeah, so there's a lot of activities that we can do together. And then we will know people more outside of the work, which actually enrich our life, personal life, quite a lot.
How would you describe Lego workplace culture?
It's playful, For sure. I think that's actually a very interesting point, that when you see a workplace decorated, or let's say it's kind of like a culture and DNA for all of the Lego employees, that you see it's fun, it's curious, and you remind us to be like a kid. So then you have playful in your mind. And then when you meet some obstacles from the work, you always also think about back to the children time. Then how do you conquer that? You just insist, and then you will be brave, and then you'll be focused, and then you will just, think things positively. So yeah, I think playful would be a word to describe that.
That I can confirm it is. We're sitting in a room with a Lego campfire. So it is very, very playful, attested. I have maybe a last question. I mean, with the abundance of things you have here, is there something you miss?
You mean from my hometown?
No, I meant in general, in the workplace, is there anything that you would like to have? And if the answer is a no, then it's a no.
Yeah, well, maybe I would really like to have some bubble tea, you know, so that if maybe one of the employee or maybe someone can consider to have that drink, which is also a very popular drink, you know, from my home country, that will be very nice. But in general, I'm quite happy with this campus setup.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you. So I'm with Tini here today. She's a community builder at the Lego Group.
Yeah.
And I get to ask you a couple of questions.
I can't wait.
Yeah, because community building is something a lot of companies are interested in, especially now looking at how to create workplace culture. So that's actually what I'm interested about. But I want to start with something more personal. And I'm sure you have a great answer to that. It's actually, what's your favorite place on campus?
My favorite place on campus is actually the second floor of the atrium. And so to describe it a little bit, our atrium is very, very open. And looking down, it's the perfect spot for people watching. So just you can do a little bit of spying. You can, you know, overhear conversations. It's just a really lovely place to see people interact and meet. And be very human. Like, it is a funny thing to watch people be people. And we have a great atrium for it. So
I used to love to do that on Saturdays, like being in a coffee shop and just watching people.
Yeah. I think I get it from my mom, but people watching is definitely such a lovely pastime.
I can imagine it's also handy for you, because by observing people, you realize how they tick a little bit what the culture, the temperature of the Lego room is, kind of.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes the Lego community special?
For me, coming into not only this place is a new country, I'm from the US, and so coming to Denmark has its own like bit of culture shock, but I feel like landing at the Lego group has been so lovely. And one of the things that makes them so special is that there really are people from every walks of life. Like, you can see designers in scruffy t-shirts and, you know, power suit wearing, like high flying, like women. You just see this vast variety of humans here. And I think that it's a really cool place to sort of be sat. I mean, we're in a tiny little village in the middle of Denmark, and yet you can see every type of person here. And I think that's amazing. It's so special.
We earlier walked past your celebrations wall as well, and that's also so special. I mean, there's been people 25, 40, 50, 55 years with the company, and we've been told that actually there is a celebration every day for these anniversaries. And I mean, that speaks volumes.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. I think as a brand, there's so much love and loyalty and excitement. I mean, it feels really special to work for a company like this. And it's funny because I think you also have a wide variety of diehard fans and people like my husband, for example, works for the Lego Foundation, and he never played with the Lego bricks growing up. So this has just been like a wild introduction to this whole, you know, this whole world of imagination and play and just like a really lovely, loyal and family owned company.
And I guess you and your role is a testament to how much focus LEGO puts on people and their, let's say, larger well-being, not feeling lost coming to Billund. It is kind of remote.
We can
say that.
Definitely.
So having that as well, the LEGO house open to families is probably helping a lot. So what I'm also interested in is how do you bring people in, because you're in this remote place, you don't know everybody, you might be shy or you might be even an introvert and be like, I shouldn't be here. So what do you do to engage people to come and join the club, LEGOworks?
I think we start by creating a very, very safe place where everyone feels welcome no matter who they are. So it is okay to be shy here. It is okay to be loud here. It is okay. It is okay to be creative or not creative at all. If you've got a willingness to try something new, to maybe step even just a little bit outside of your comfort zone and participate, then there is a place for you in People House. And I think for me coming to Denmark, I didn't have a place like this. And it was a real struggle my first few years of being in this country to sort of find my people. And I think what's amazing is People House provides that safe, welcoming, warm, inspiring place just in itself. Like simply by being here, it's bringing people together. And it's bringing people together from families. Like it's incredible that we do allow people's partners and families to come, because for so often I was sort of stuck at home. The company took my husband away and like I was just sat at home in Denmark. And now anyone in my situation has an opportunity to come and meet other people of similar backgrounds, passions. I think it's really wonderful to know that there's a space where no matter what you might be interested in, like there's space for it here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and if you come here, it's not that it's only like a safe and really nicely designed and welcoming space, but there is like a bunch of cool stuff that to do. I mean, there's so
it's
many
a huge bonus.
Cool rooms. We're right now in the music room, which is amazing.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other rooms. So I'm wondering, it's like, how did you figure out what to find in? Because you can be in to put in, because you could be interested in a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
How did you figure out what kind of rooms to provide and also what programming would be interesting to people?
That's a great question. I wasn't here at the very beginning, but you know, conversations for a space like this have been going on for the past decade or so. You know, employees and colleagues really feeling like they wanted a space to meet and to be together outside of work. And so from that group of thousands of employees, we sort of, I think there was a survey sent out that was like, are you interested in dreaming big and bringing People House to life? So from that subset, we have what we call drivers, and they are the ones who sort of had the big dreams, were specific about the areas of interest in such a way that it's, you know, like for a long time, there were conversations about maybe it'd be really cool to have a photography room or a music room. And so we had to decide where the interest was actually living, because maybe there were two people for photography, but 200 for music. And so it was a lot of weighing of those. But as soon as we had the spaces decided, the drivers helped us outfit them and decide what would live here, what should live here. What were the simple things to engage in the community that would inspire people to sort of meet and be in the space? So that's how we outfitted it. And now we've only just started the programming. And for me, it's a bit of a trial run, right? Like for these first 6 weeks, we're offering a huge variety of courses, from learning how to play the accordion, to making a bee sanctuary, to gospel choir, to like how to utilize your yarn leftovers, like vast variety of classes to see what people are interested in, to see where, what classes get attended and what don't. And then we can sort of take whatever we've learned from this first round of classes and see what the next round of programming should look like. Because it's all about learning. It's all about seeing how the community comes to life in the space and sort of watching and waiting and learning and then trying something similar, new, entirely different. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you already, so sorry, I have two thoughts that are competing in my head for like what to go after first.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of clarify frame for the programming and the classes mm-hmm. that you're yep. offering. Some of these classes are taught by LEGO employees as well who mm-hmm. had an interest in yep. those. So you don't have to have teachers for everything. There's teachers among the LEGO community.
Yep. Yep. So the hope is, I think in the beginning, we are going to be third-party facilitated heavy. Like we are going to run a lot of programming that do require teachers, but that's only to sort of show the space in all sorts of different lights, right? So to inspire any of our colleagues that maybe feel a little bit hesitant about what they could teach here or what they could share here. So they're meant to sort of serve as an illustration of what could happen, of what's possible in the space. And so our hope is that if we're very heavy on the programming early on, the further and further we get out from the grand opening, the more and more like self-led community participation we're seeing in the house.
And the more, a weird way of phrasing it, the more real it is, because I guess when it opened, yeah. people were just like really curious what's here and coming in the masses.
Absolutely.
And then it's normalizing over people's normal course yeah. of the day. So Kelly, who I met yesterday, she mm-hmm. mentioned, for example, that she tends to come on a Friday with mm-hmm. the kids and yeah. meet other people who do the same. So that's something I'm interested in as well. Do you have like first insights on, is there certain patterns emerging? Is there certain things that is especially popular currently that you already know of?
Patterns. I think, well, weekends tend to be very family heavy, which is lovely. And then the rest of the time, we have a lot of interest in Chef's Corner, of course. We have a lot of interest in the arena. And we're starting to navigate how we can best support the community to be a little bit more self-led, right? Like we're trying to move away from this being entirely a service and more being a self-led community. And that takes a lot of work. That means we're constantly having to think about how to best set people up for success. Like we have to make sure that we're providing the space in such a way that they do know the parameters, they do know how to clean up after themselves, and they know that it's required of them. So like one of our values is everybody makes a mess, everybody cleans up after themselves. And I feel like exactly what you were saying, the more people sort of get to know what this space is, the more homey we hope it feels. But with that hominess comes, I hope, a sense of pride and responsibility in the space itself. So we're trying to build upon those sort of values as well. Like this isn't just a place of service. This is the people's house. Mm-hmm. So same as your house. I mean, I guess maybe some people's houses look look a bit different than mine necessarily, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, we hope that there's a sense of ownership and pride that comes with being in the space.
Yeah, and knowing it will only stay as beautiful if you look after it, right?
That's right. Yeah. So like we love that. First and foremost, we love that people are using the space and that they're starting to feel that comfortableness. And I think it's only when you do start to feel comfortable in a space that you can sort of make space for those magical happenings. It's not just that you're staring in wonder. You're actually willing to step into the space and see what happens. That can only happen when you're feeling a little bit more comfortable. But on the other end, we also need people to take pride in the space and keep it up.
I have one last question.
Sure.
I mean, actually, it's a hidden two questions.
Ooh, tricky.
What's the day in the life of a community builder?
Mm.
And how do I become a community builder? What's your background?
Oh, gosh. Funny. Right now, my life is a lot of emails, but it's connecting a lot of dots right now. So it's maybe taking a few meetings with people that are interested but don't know how to use the space yet. It's taking a few meetings with people who know exactly what they want to have happen in this space, and then me sort of helping support what that looks like in the space, like where the power outlets are, where the hidden storage rooms are. And then it's sort of a conversation about how to get other people into the same space with the same interests. And as for my background, I have lived many lives, which I like to say, which is that I have a background, I have a theater degree from Ithaca College in the US. I was an actor for 5 years in Chicago. And then I designed my own apprenticeship tour across the United States, where I spent a year visiting different pie shops, learning how to make pie. And then I started my own pie business called Teeny Pies, which I ran for 5 years. And then my husband got a job in Denmark and we moved here. And so I the first few years I was here, I learned Danish and had a baby. And now here I am.
Yeah.
Building community. So you have to have a very varied background to be a community builder. But I think it gives me really good I've had a place in a lot of small sort of intimate communities. And I think it gives me insight into sort of how people work and how to best connect the dots.
So Lloyd, I do have another question.
Oh, okay.
Now. When's the next pie workshop going to happen?
My colleagues are also interested in that. Soon. I would love to teach pie here. I have taught so many classes, and I would love to be able to bring that to our Chef's Corner. I think that would be really special. It would be so full circle. Yeah.
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 Awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. So Tim, great. I have you again.
Great to be back.
Yes. You're already a podcast pro now. You gave me the opportunity to speak to a couple of your colleagues who are user of the campus. And I wanted to use the time with you again to put things a little bit into perspective for me and our audience, I guess, as well. So one thing, let's square that away first, is Lego's People House, which is an unusual concept because it is not strictly office space and it is a quite spacious and beautifully designed space. Can you go a little bit into what is the purpose?
Yeah, so the history of the People House is, in a nutshell, it's our employee play space. And the background is that there had been a request from our colleagues for decades to have a space where they could come together, especially after work. As I think I might have mentioned before, the Lego Group's locations across Billund have been split across a number of sites. And so there's been a request to just have that one place, that social hub where you could come together after work, especially for colleagues living locally. So that was kind of the original intent. And then as we built it into the Lego campus, especially as we started learning at the start of the pandemic around what the future of work would be and the future reasons why people would come back into the office, we decided to really use that space in the workday as well. So there's lots of opportunities for colleagues to come in after work in the evenings and in the weekends and in holidays and even bring their families too, which is something that's really exciting. And we're seeing that a lot of people are doing. But we're also really using it as one of those social, playful, cultural infrastructures throughout the workday where colleagues will come down to collaborate, be playful, come together and socialize.
What I always wonder a bit is how do you measure, because your campus is brand new, right? Mm. How do you measure that what you put out there, and measure is maybe the wrong word. Let's just say, how do you validate if what you put out there is the right things? It's supporting people and as well, where are probably, because the People House, you would never expect it to be 100% full on any given day because it is an offer for people to use and it is an investment into people. So where do you have some leeway as well that you say, we still want to have this and it doesn't have to be an 80% utilization? Sorry, that was a lot packed into one question.
In a one-liner, what would your question be?
In a one-liner, my question is, what are your principles for measuring workplace efficiency? Let's say it like that. Or effectivity. Mm. Is that a word in English?
Yeah. So right now, we are basing a lot of our learnings on the employee perspective, and we do a lot of employee listening. I think one of the things to keep in mind is this is brand new. LEGO Campus as a site is brand new, and it offers a new way of working. But also because we're all just starting to come back after the pandemic and the lockdown. And so we're also trying to ease our way into new ways of working. And I think one needs to be careful of not relying too much on what the kind of immediate culture that we're seeing looks like, because we're all just trying to navigate this, create kind of traditions and cultures together. And so for us, it's all, there's kind of two levels to it, right? We do a lot of employee listening, do a lot of surveys, but also we speak to a lot of managers as well about how they think that this is working for their teams. So I think previously we've talked about, we have something called the Leadership Playground, which is an avenue for teams to come together to talk about their ways of working in a more informal and playful kind of environment. And what we want to do is use these to really pick up on what's working and what's not working, more so than necessarily the kind of the tech heavy side of things. So more have a qualitative conversation mm-hmm. about what's working and what isn't.
Yeah. And then basing off from that, do you actually think you'd be able to pivot from that? So if you'd found out that something really doesn't work, and I think mm-hmm. we're coming from maybe you not so much because you always had play at heart at LEGO and probably a lot of creativity and more flexible than other companies. But I come from a workplace world where you put a workplace in place and you suspected it to be that's the thing, right? For the next 10 years that you locked the lease in and you didn't really expect to change a lot because an investment had been made. So can you actually make those updates regularly?
I think I think it's a really great question. And it's not like we are just changing things up and saying, oh, we bought all of this furniture, now we're going to get rid of it and buy something new.
Yeah.
I think really the secret is to think creatively about what you have and then trying to rethink the use of that and really work with your end users on how they might use existing infrastructures in a different way. So I think, the example that I was giving before was, we had this people house, we had the atrium, we had a lot of spaces that we were adding to the mix. And the original intent before the pandemic was something else. But we said, you know what, this really needs to be part of that social, cultural infrastructure that brings people together. So we're now trying and have been trying to speak to people about how do you actually incorporate that into your everyday life rather than something that's separate from work. So I think really working with the kind of end user behavior and the change management and the nudging around how they might use something that they hadn't thought was part of their work environment and how they incorporate that into their work environment is really a big part of the secret rather than just going and changing the work environment.
Yeah. So I love that point. It is much more about, as you said, employee behavior and educating and listening and being creative with what's given than actually adapting all the time. So it's more of an agile mindset than it is really an agile workplace.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to have designed that in from the start. So I want to give the example of our atrium. One of the things that we have there is a collection of experience zones around the different parts of the LEGO universe. So LEGO Education, LEGO Foundation, LEGO Ventures. There's lots of different parts of the organization that all have a shared kind of mission, but we kind of act on that mission in different ways. We wanted to create a place where our colleagues could come and get like a hands-on learning experience, understanding what it is that these different entities did. But we also said, we don't want this to be a museum experience where you just come in, you play with something, and then you leave. We also want this to double as a workplace. So all of those spaces also have tables and chairs and whiteboards. So yes, you can come and have an inspiring learning through play experience, but you can also come together and use it as a team, as a workspace. So I think kind of thinking that flexibility in from the onset when you're designing things is really important.
Yes. And you nicely went into a direction I wanted to go before. It's kind of going to be a little bit of a gamification because I asked your colleagues that question as well. Now I'm going to match it with what you say. And the question was, how mobile are you in the workplace? How many different work settings do you use? What do you think they said?
Oh, that is a great question. I think it really depends. I think, again, some things will work more for certain people, right? So there are certain people that will prefer being in their neighborhoods together with their immediate teams or their department and have and kind of move more within that area. And then there are people like myself who really love to take advantage of all the different types of spaces in, say, Lego Campus. So I think it really depends on who you asked.
You're just too, you know your users too well, because that's exactly the answers I got. So one was like that they're not that mobile on a given day, but pick their mm-hmm. desk and then go occasionally to a meeting. And others were using a lot of the offers also in the People House to work from. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There is no one right answer, which makes it difficult for our can you say our trade kind of to actually want. And then another one is actually from your point of view, would you say the office at times gets too crowded or too empty?
So if we're looking specifically at Lego Campus, I don't ever think it gets too crowded because there's always space for people to work, but they might need to just change their mindset about thinking, oh, I came in imagining that I would work from this area and now I might need to work from another area, which is maybe another neighborhood. You know, you might have thought you were going to go and sit together with your department, but then now you're going to sit with another department because there's space there, but also, you know, the atrium, the People House, the canteen, there's always enough space for everyone to be in the site. We've calculated with enough flexible seatings, but you might just need to maybe change your mindset about what kind of space you're using. We definitely do have kind of the challenge at times of spaces being not used enough. And I think that is partially about that kind of, again, about us starting to come back in, just trying to find our feet. And it is a transition that we're in the midst of the process of.
Yeah. Being mindful of the time, I'm going to close with one question. You're a user of the workplace as well. What's mm-hmm. your favorite spot on campus?
I love to sit in the atrium and just see all the connections that are happening, people coming by, people getting inspired. You can, when you're in the atrium, you can both see people arriving in reception and just having that wow experience as they come in, which just fills me with so much joy. You can also see people meeting up for a coffee in one of our cafes and chatting with colleagues that they haven't connected with for a while. And then you can also see at the top our Zen garden where people sit and look out the window and have a little moment to collect themselves. And I absolutely love that.
You did a great job with that atrium. It seems to be the beating heart of the campus because every person I talk to picked the atrium as their favorite spot.
Really? Awesome.
Yes.
That is great to hear.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We've just released the definitive guide to workplace analytics, for instance. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.